morning. I want to talk about a very personal thing. I want to talk about your inheritance. Whenever we hear the word inheritance, it might excite us. It might perk our ears up. It might go, oh, really? I've got an inheritance coming to me? That's great. Of course, when the actual time comes to receive it, you may find out that most of what was supposed to be yours is in some sort of receivership or debtor's consideration or taxes. But it was nice while it lasted, wasn't it? Nice idea while it lasted. We are destined to inherit, though. A lot of times when preachers talk about the reward ahead of the Christian, reward is what we think. But a major term the Bible uses continuously, especially in the New Testament, is inheritance. And we're not sure what to do with that. A lot of times when I bring this up and stress this, someone will get me and say, well, now, wait a minute. What am I supposed to inherit? What do I get? What is that supposed to mean? One dear brother said, I thought somebody had to die for me to inherit. And I said, well, obviously he knew about the death of Jesus. He was thinking some further death had to take place. And so I had to remind him, well, Abraham gave his son's inheritance while he was still alive. Distributed his means. And of course you've got that wonderful parable of the prodigal son. The younger son said, I want my inheritance now. And the father said, sure. Okay. So no, death isn't necessary as such to inherit. It all depends on the will of the one who possesses, how he wishes to dispose of what he has and to whom. But the topic is inheritance. Our eternal life and all that that involves is inheritance. We will inherit it. We are heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, Romans 8. But what does that mean? I think it means more than we've ever dreamed. Maybe we haven't given it enough thought. But let me take you to some scriptures. Abraham was blessed in a mighty way. He was going to inherit the land of Canaan. Remember that? Genesis 12, first part. And he was going to have so many children that they would become a mighty nation. There was that. And then that last one. And in your seed, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, again, preachers, whenever they stress Abraham and what God promised him, it's always the land promise, and it's the nation promise, and it's the seed promise. And that's pretty well how it's presented. And all that's exact. That's true. But is that the summation of it? Is that the fullness of the thing? And the answer very clearly is no. Not just in Hebrews 11, but in Romans 4:13. You might want to turn there. Romans 4:13, a marvelous verse, and we just don't look at it nearly enough. For the promise that he, Abraham, would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. All right, now there's a statement for you. Abraham was to inherit the world. The world, folks. Abraham wasn't to get Canaan. He was. But so much more than just those boundaries on the west, the Mediterranean, on the east, the Euphrates, in the south, the Negev, in the north, Syria, you know, being the boundaries. When God was showing Abraham the promise, it was bigger than what Moses saw on top of Pisgah. It was indeed the world. And this is God talking to Abraham, and this is God saying, this is what I want to give. No wonder Abraham went where he did, not knowing where he was going. No wonder he was ready to take a knife to the throat of his only begotten son because God told him to, knowing that God could resurrect his son right back to life. Abraham knew God. Maybe more than we know him. Better than we know him. That'd be a shame, wouldn't it? But he knew God. And God says, the world is yours. Well, does that sum it up? Well, not really. More about that later. But if you turn to Galatians 3:29, Paul tells the Galatians, who are Gentiles, Gentile Christians. God tells the Galatians, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, what does that mean? It means if Abraham gets the world, so do we. We inherit it too. But now, of course, the very real question is, well, what world are we talking about? And that's a very good question. And that takes us to Hebrews chapter 2. Beginning with verse 5. Now, this letter to the Hebrews is to Hebrew Christians. The other was to Gentile Christians. This is to Hebrew Christians, Jewish Christians. For he has not put the world to come. Alright, that gives us a hint. Of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? This isn't Jesus. This is humanity. We're all sons of men. And that means we're human. We are human. We are contingent beings. Our existence depends on the one who existed before us. So to say Son of Man emphasizes to mankind you're mortal. You're contingent. It is your parents who brought you here. And if you have children, you'll be the reason they're here. And so forth. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You've made him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. And set him over the works of your hands. You've put all things in subjection under his feet. The Hebrews writer goes on. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Now, are you seeing the picture? the inheritance is the world, but it is the world to come. It is the glorious world of eternity. That is what we, as children of Abraham, are to inherit, according to God's promise, through Christ. And that is what God has always had in mind, as demonstrated. But now this verse, which should help bring it all together, Matthew 25. This we've heard before. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. And how many times have we heard? Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Now look at it. From the foundation of the world. Again, this is what God has always had in mind for us. Satan tried to derail us and the plan. Satan tried to overthrow it. By overthrowing us, Satan failed. Satan failed. Now, vouchsafed by the seal of the Holy Spirit given to us, and the blood of Christ offered for us, now is the promise, not just of living forever, but of running the next world. Put safely into our hands, because God knows He can count on us to do the right thing. And still we maintain our own integrity as human beings. Our decisions will still be our own. There won't be any puppeteering of God over man in heaven. Won't have to be. Because we will have proven here that we're up to the inheritance. How big a deal is that? Well, it's just everything. What Jesus has given us is not just restoration, but full accomplishment of what it means to be human. Our destiny is total fulfillment, but not here. It'll be when Jesus comes back and the new world is created, put before us, a world that will never die, will never wear out, will never grow old. There won't even be day and night. Just one eternal day. Somebody says, well, are my pets going to be there? It's not going to be much heaven if my pets aren't there. I can't speak to that. Who knows what will be in heavenly glory that will be part of our inheritance. But are you worried about that? Do you really need to worry about that? God takes care of us so well here in the midst of the sin curse. So well does He take care of each of us here. You really think He might miss something when He gets you there? Nah. It'll all be taken care of perfectly, actually. Beautiful. Revelation 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. Everything. Everything. You're going to get everything. And this stresses a marvelous equality of heaven. Some people talk about degrees of reward. Maybe. I don't see it though. What I see is heavenly reward demonstrated on a marvelous scale of equality. If you get there, you got it. And that's demonstrated in the church. There is no big I, little you in the church. What have the preacher said long ago over the years, many, many years? The ground is always level at the foot of the cross. In other words, we're all the same height at the foot of the cross. We all have the same standing at the foot of the cross. Well, is that going to change? Isn't that the way it is in the church? Of course it is. And isn't that the way then it'll translate into heavenly glory? The church being a taste of what's in store for us there. I don't see how it could be anything else. And again, Revelation 21, verse 7, the emphasis, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And therefore, you're going to inherit everything that God has in store. And hopefully you have a little better handle on that now. Have a little clearer vision of what is in store for you. But, notice, you have to overcome. We've got to overcome what's down here to overthrow us. It's still here. Temptation is still here. The encouragement to forget what God has in store for us is still here. And we've got to beat that. And God will make sure that we don't ever get overwhelmed by it. But we have to keep our eyes on the prize. Have to. And then that brings us then to 1 Corinthians 6. We cannot afford to forget this. Verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, what does that say? Number one, you can lose your salvation. And number two, you can so lie to yourself to where you think, well, that ain't me. That doesn't apply to me. The Corinthians were eat up with it. You cannot afford for that to be. You just can't. And Satan will make sure you're led down that way if you start looking in that direction. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Implied is the answer. You ought to. I told you before. This isn't new. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, people want to dispute those terms and act like that the translators don't know anything about homosexuality, which is false. But the terms are more readily understood as the feminine counterpart of the homosexual relationship and the male counterpart to the homosexual relationship. So technically you could say that it ought to be nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor femmes, the female counterpart of the homosexual relationship, you know, whether male or female. Or butches, the male counterpart of the homosexual relationship, whether male or female. Neither the femme nor the butch is going to inherit the kingdom of God. All modern publicity of the homosexual community today, to the contrary, notwithstanding. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you trust the inheritance promise, you have to trust the warning of disinheritance. You have to trust it. Both are true. But keep in mind this. God, Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 6, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Emphasis on work. No sin is forgiven that is not repented of. Well, I know I did bad. I know I messed up. But if I had to do it again, I'd do the same thing. Well, then you're doomed. Just mark it down. All that's left for you is eternal fire. If you admit you messed up, then you better admit repentance. Lord, please forgive me. I'm so sorry. I blew it. I did it. I'm sorry. If I had to do over again, I would never even think of doing it again. There's the heart of repentance. That's what you want to be. Oh, but I'll mess up again. Well, maybe you will, but don't plan on it. Don't plan on messing up. There's too much at stake, folks. Do we get that now? Do we see that now? There's too much at stake. Your inheritance is at stake. Don't lose it. The will of the Lord is that you overcome. You make it. You're there with Him. And He rejoices in that. Your God rejoices in that. Do you? Can we help you get there? Either repentance and baptism to become a Christian, or repentance and prayer as a Christian. If we can help, come while we stand in this.
Bring Christ your broken life.